taking the Word of God now. Let's turn in them to 1 John and chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5, we're going to be reading starting in the middle of verse 18 and through the end of verse 19. And last week we heard where it says, "All unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not leading to death. We know that no one is born of God sins." And we'll pick up right after that through the end of verse 19. First, let's go to the Lord and ask His blessing upon His reading and preaching of His Word. Our Father, we praise You and thank You for Your Word. Thank You that You speak to us. And now, Father, we ask that You would give us ears to hear and eyes to see Your Son, that our focus would be upon Him as we deal in this life with the evil one. Father, give us the Word to teach us how to flee from Him and resist Him, that He would even flee from us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. 1 John chapter 5, in the middle of verse 18, and we'll go through the end of verse 19. These are the words of God. They are inerrant and infallible. "But he who is born of God keeps himself, it says, "and the evil one does not touch him. We know that we are of God, and that the whole world lies in the power of the evil one." As far as no reading of God's Word. Well, Christian, you are to continue in the faith. You are to pray with confidence. You are to turn from evil. And that has been basically the summary of John's letter, the first of John's letters that we've heard thus far. And these verses before us this evening, as we prepare our hearts to partake of the supper, the calling comes unto you. Turn from evil. He's just called us, as we heard last week, all unrighteousness is sin. There is a sin not leading to death. And we know that no one who is born of God sins. That is, that we are to not remain in sin, but to continue pursuing sanctification and turning from evil. And then he continues with that thought. Now, you are to turn from evil, turn from the evil of this world. And everything that tries to grab hold of you, and you are to stand firm against that in the Word of God in Christ. The first point that we see in the text, very clear, you should be able to see it yourselves. Those of God keep themselves. Those of God keep themselves. That's what we heard partially last Lord's Day, verse 18. Everyone who is born of God keeps himself. For the Christian, one who is born of God is not under the dominion of sin. You're not under the dominion of Satan. For them who their life and is a life of sin, they dwell in it. It is their realm. They inhabit it. But those born of God are no longer in that state. They've been taken out of it. Now think of it this way, as John has said before, the one born of God walks in the light as He, Jesus, is in the light. And so it is not that you are incapable of sin, but that you have that light now in you, it is possible to sin no more. And to practice righteousness now in Christ by His Holy Spirit. And we, beloved, need to remember and see the reality that there is, that exists in this world. And that the reality is that there's two realms. The realm of darkness and the realm of light. The dominion of Satan and the kingdom of God in Christ. You have perhaps heard that there is a little difference between one of the world and God's children. And both are sinners and are what one may call on the same level. But that is completely false. They are completely different people. Christian from one in this world. The one brought to God called Christian is one who has been elevated to a new life in Christ Jesus, as we've heard before recently. They're new creations. We are new creations in Christ. Clothed with righteousness. You're one who's brought to God. You've been raised up with Christ. That even now we come to worship and we're before the very throne of God, brought to a new height beyond the heavens before His throne. In a few moments we will commune and feast with Christ. Something that cannot be done for one who is not born of God, someone who is of this world. Those things cannot be true of them. So those of God keep themselves, it says. Jude 24 gives the benediction out of Him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of His glory with great joy. To the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. Amen. And that benediction cannot be to any of the world, because the world cannot be kept by God. And they cannot be kept from stumbling. And they cannot be presented blameless before the Lord unless they come unto Him, believing the gospel. So who is it that keeps you, Christian? It is, of course, the Lord through Jesus Christ by His Spirit. And so that you would keep yourself as the Lord keeps you, He gives us the Word. Ephesians 6 reminds us of that and what is going on in our lives. What's going on in our life right now? And this is what John is writing to help us with. As we have assurance of our salvation, hopefully, that was his goal. And now you are to be kept. And you are to keep yourselves. And Paul in Ephesians 6 reminds us how to do that. And he reminds us what's going on in our lives. What is the reality of life as a Christian on this earth? We are revealed... that there are things outside of yourselves. There's pressures and circumstances upon you attempting to pull you into the realm of the world and the evil one. But Christian, you must know that the Lord keeps you, and if you are His child, you keep yourself. And you say, then if that's true, then there is little hope, if any at all, for me if I have to keep myself. Keep myself from evil. Keep myself from sin. But Christian, the Lord says to you in Ephesians 6, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. As the Lord is all powerful and He promises to you that He keeps you, we confess that He keeps us in singing, when we sing Psalm 121, I lift up my eyes to the hills, from where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made the heavens and the earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. And so very obviously He keeps us. And how does He keep us? How does He do this keeping? He gives us His Word. And He makes Himself present with us by His Spirit. God with us. He says to you in Ephesians 6, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. Now, what schemes are we up against that we must be standing against them? They are the schemes of the devil, the evil one in which the Lord keeps us and we must keep ourselves. You see, as Christians, the devil wants us destroyed. He wants all followers of Christ, even the angels of God, destroyed. He can't do that. And so he will constantly scheme against you, against the church, to try to make you sin, to convince you to take part in evil, to make your witness worse and ineffective. That's what he did with Job, as we've heard the last couple of Lord's days. He tried. The Lord even gave him over to it. Now, Satan hates Yahweh. And he wants his own kingdom to flourish and overcome Yahweh's kingdom. He's fighting a losing battle. You would think he would know that. He would stop fighting, but he does know that, and yet he keeps fighting. He's fighting a war he's already lost, but he's still a dangerous Christian. He's prowling around like a roaring lion, seeking someone, the Christian, to devour. Everyone else he's already devoured of the world. But he's seeking the Christian to devour. And you must keep yourself. That is the command here in 1 John. His schemes come, and the Lord says, Ephesians 6, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. So do you see who you're up against? It's John's design in this letter as he closes the book for you, Christian, to consider reality as one who has confidence. Also, you will continue having confidence. You must know that there is one who is scheming to take you down. And he is the devil. His name is Satan. And with him, it isn't only flesh and blood, but there are rulers and authorities and cosmic powers and spiritual forces of evil, not only Satan, the devil, but his demons and all his followers who are in darkness. So how do we keep ourselves from his evil schemes? And of course, we would again profess and confess the Lord is keeping us. And so he gives us means to keep yourself. The Lord keeps us, but he gives you means to keep yourself. And that's why we're over in Ephesians 6, because there in Ephesians 6, he gives you those means. He shows you what it means to keep yourself. Ephesians 6 verse 13, therefore take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. To stand firm, to keep yourself. And he'll say in verse 21, keep yourselves from idols. That's at 1 John 5:21. Keep yourselves from idols. Keep yourself. To do so, you must put on the whole armor of God. Whose armor is it? We need to ask that question first. Whose armor is it that we are putting on? It is not your armor. As when we went through Ephesians, we thought of that question, or the thought that the armor that we're putting on is our armor. We need to put on our armor. And that is a wrong thought, because it's very clear that it says it is the armor of God. It's God's alone. It's His armor for you. But it's still His armor. It is His keeping you, and keeping you by giving you His armor. And so you will be able to stand in the evil day. What is the armor of God? Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth. We've gone over the armor of God before, remember? Fasten on the belt of truth, Christian. That is the Word of God, which is truth. In Him there is only truth, and all He speaks is therefore truth and not lies. Who lies? Who is it that lies? It is the evil one, for he is the father of lies. The next piece of armor says, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate of righteousness. Christian, if you're born of God, we've already learned this in 1 John, you are producing fruit. You're continuing to produce fruit. And how do we know what is righteousness? To know if we're producing the fruit. We find it in the Word of God. We find it in the Scriptures. God's righteousness, we find it in the law. We find it in what God does. For He does all things in righteousness. And this righteousness you are to put on yourselves. You are to have that fruit of the Spirit. And now clothed in righteousness, because you are in union with Christ, you will be able to withstand the schemes of the devil. What else? Verse 15. And as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. You've been reconciled to God by the death of His Son. And so at peace with God. Beloved, be ready then to proclaim that gospel of peace to those around you, to the world. Proclaiming the Word is one of the means God gives you to stand against the schemes of the devil. Evangelism is one of the ways you can stand against the schemes of the devil. And then it says, in all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. Who is doing the keeping from the evil one there? It is so that you can extinguish the darts of the evil one. We see there the very fact in His words that we are able to keep ourselves. That is what John's purpose is in all of this. He wants you to see how His Holy Spirit is testifying with your spirit. He's trying to show you that if you believe the promises, you are saved. He's trying to show you that if you produce fruit, you are His. And then now, because of that, if you have assurance and you see those fruit, those evidences, then even you can stand against the devil. You can stand against the devil. And who gives you the ability, the strength, who gives you that faith? It's the one who keeps you, our God and our Lord. So take up the shield of faith. Faith in what? In the Word of God. Faith in the Gospel. Faith in the truth of Christ and our Lord. And this is what 1 John 5:13 was talking about. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life, and so that you may believe, that is, continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. Take up the shield of faith. Keep on believing, so that you will extinguish the flaming darts of the evil one, the devil, to stand against his schemes. And take up the helmet of salvation. Salvation that we have from what? The Word of God. By His Spirit, speaking life into our souls and bodies. And because of the salvation you are, and new creation, you are His children. Child of God. Take up also the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The Word of God which is illumined in you. The Word of God not itself needing to be illumined. We don't need to take the Word of God and have God's divine light shine on the Word. It is already perfect. It is already the light. The light needs to be shown in our own minds, our own hearts, because that is where the sin remains. And that's why we pray that our hearts, our minds, our wills, affections, they would be illumined by the Spirit. And we would grasp the Word as we hear it. And the Spirit is the enabler. The Spirit confirms in the heart the Word of God, even as it goes forth from your mouth. As you're supposed to be giving the Gospel of peace, the Spirit is the one confirming that in the hearts of those who hear. Stand firm against the schemes of the devil by praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication to that end, keeping alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. So again, we see what John is doing because he has just called us to pray for the saints, hasn't he? Since you have assurance of salvation, this is the confidence which we have before Him. If we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request which we have asked from Him. And it goes on to call you to pray for then the elect, that they be saved. Prayers for the saints. And what kind of prayers? Prayers according to His will, that is, according to His Word. Standing firm in the Word of God, you're to pray at all times in the Spirit. Romans 8, likewise the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. We don't know how to pray. So then how are we going to stand firm? How are we going to keep ourselves? The Spirit groans within us, our prayers. The Spirit works within us, God in us, to stand firm, to keep ourselves. Who is keeping us? He is. How does He do it? Every single one of the armor, parts of the armor of God is His Word. It's His Word. And different aspects of it. And we are to live it out in putting on the full armor of God. To stand firm against the schemes of the devil, we must be in prayer. And Paul even says, after at the end of that section in Ephesians, he says, pray also for me. Pray also for me that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. And so, beloved, if you want to stand firm against the schemes of the devil, you will pray as they were to pray for Paul. You are to pray for your minister and your elders. You will pray for your husbands and fathers who minister the word to you. You pray for the preacher as they were to pray for Paul, that the gospel would be proclaimed, that God's word would be proclaimed and doing so boldly. Why would you pray? So that you would stand firm. As you hear the word from their mouths. Upon hearing it, it would be effectual in the salvation and sanctification. And so we ought to be praying for the worship of God where His Word is heard, that it would be by the Spirit, be received and lived out. Because everyone who is born of God keeps himself by that armor of God, and the evil one does not touch him. Those of God keep themselves. The final point this evening, those of Satan are under his power. You see that in verse 19. Those of Satan are under his power. It says, we know that we are of God and that the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. The world falls, listens easily to the devil. They listen and follow willingly. It's their choice. He is their comforter and guide. And such who are of the world under his power frame their creed, their confession according to his teaching and under his inspiration. It's hostile and enmity to Yahweh, and it's at enmity and hostile to his children, God's children. Satan is a master of the divine. Even he believes the truth of God, as it says in James. He knows the truth, he knows the gospel, but he rebels against it. Faith, worship, discipline, government of the people of the world is dictated by him. Though of course we know that God is sovereign over him. The whole world lies in the power of the evil one, dependent upon him. What is the essence of the evil one in worldliness? It is that the commandments of God are grievous. That God himself is a cranky, unloving, conjured up lie, and everything about him is for your hurt and bondage, slavery. That is the lie of the evil one, the devil. And that which he has convinced the whole world with his lies. And it is as lying in the evil one's power that the whole world so conceives of God and acts upon this conception of him. And the world asks because of this belief in the lie, who is God that we should serve him? And what profit shall we have if we bow down unto him? Or like Pharaoh this morning we heard, who is Yahweh? At the same time it presumes confidently, the Lord does not see us, the Lord has no regard for us, because they've suppressed that knowledge of the truth. Beloved, there is nothing in or about the world that is not lying in the power of the evil one. It's black and white, this truth. Mankind is divided into two great parties of dominions, that which belongs to God, that which belongs to the evil one. Believers in the gospel belong to God. They're his children. They're cared for by him and loved by him and protected, kept by him. They are of God, from God, to God, and for God. They are heirs of the covenant promises in Christ. They are the Lord's portion, his inheritance. But on the contrary, the whole world, being all the rest of people, lie in the power of the devil. As one Puritan says, they lie in the jaws and the bowels of the wicked one. And so if we're to consider, they are many wicked ones, wicked spirits in the heavenly and other worldly places, whatever that means. But they are united in wicked nature, principle, and in one head, Satan. They are, we could say, in union with the devil, as we are in union with Christ. They are in union with the devil, and he is the head of his damned kingdom. The devil has so much sway in this world spoken of here that he is called the god of this world. My beloved, upon the devil and upon the world, the whole world who lies in his power, there will come a great overthrow and everlasting damnation to them. How tremendous is the judgment of God upon that evil one. And may our God and our Lord continually demolish all the evil one's dominion in this world and bring in souls to his kingdom, to his only dear Son. So what are we to be praying for? Jesus taught us how to pray, that he teaches, as we heard this morning in the call to worship, he teaches us the second petition, your kingdom come. And our catechism reveals to us more definitely what this means. That we are to pray, Jesus teaches us how to pray, that we are to pray that Satan's kingdom may be destroyed. And that the kingdom of grace may be advanced, ourselves and others brought into it and kept in it. and that the kingdom of glory may be hastened, and it would come quickly. So the world lies in the power, under the power of the evil one, but that for the elect of God, we are to pray for them that they be delivered from it. And that we would not dabble in it as God's children. That's John's design in the end here. That we would not dabble in the things of the evil world, in the evil one, sin. So let us hate Satan's kingdom, his dominion, his influence, and put on God's armor that we would be able to stand against the evil one's schemes. Those of God keep themselves. And those of Satan are under his power and can only be freed by coming in faith to the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. And so you're called now, come to Jesus and be kept for all eternity. Let's pray. Our gracious Father, we praise you for your truth and how you desire us not to be in the caught in the cords of the evil one, that we would not even enter into sin, enter into the things of this world, or dabble into such things. But that we would be of your kingdom and follow willingly the righteousness of Christ and love him, love you. And Father, we ask that you would keep us. As we heard in Psalm 121, that you would keep us from evil. And we thank you that you give us the means to keep ourselves. As you keep us, you give us means. You give us the word. You give us the whole armor of God that we'd be able to stand against the schemes of the devil and therefore keep ourselves. And so, Lord, give us these things. Cause us to put on the whole armor of God. Cause us to be in the Word day and night. Cause us not only to know it in our minds, but that it would go all the way down into the depths of our souls and our wills and our affections and all of our thoughts and words and actions. That we would live out holy lives under Christ Jesus, and that we would fend off those desires for us to come unto sin and unto the world, and partake with it in their sin. Father, we ask that you would deliver us from evil, and that your kingdom would come, that Satan's kingdom would be destroyed, and we would be brought in your presence forever and ever. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.